good, healthy food. We want local produce. Well, guess what? Someone has to produce it, and the Peters family have been doing it a long time. Good morning.
This is John. I got my two sons, Matt and Danny, with me here.
John. Hey, guys. Well, thank you very much, Peters Family, the farm. And just tell us a little bit about the challenges facing you as you go into a basically a planting and a, you know, a farm season here with the spring here.
Well, we have our usual challenges with the weather. I mean, that goes without saying every year. But this year, actually, it started a year ago with increased prices from, you know, labor, fertilizer, seeds, fuel. This year is a big thing. Trying to find parts for equipment, or if you want to buy a new piece of equipment, it's not that easy to find a tractor right now. Even insurance costs, I noticed, have gone up. You name it. I haven't found one thing that stayed the same or gone down. That's all for this year.
Tell us about your farm, how big it is, where it is, what you grow. Tell us a little bit about the Peters farm.
Well, we grow vegetables. We're kind of spread out. We have land in Chester, Sandown, Salem. We go into Methuen, Mass., but it is spread out. We own our own, and we rent some. My grandparents were here in 1911 it started. So we've been doing it for quite a while. We sell retail at a farm stand. And we have my brother and his family are in it, and my two sons and myself.
And do you feel like it's getting more and more difficult to make a living, to pay the bills, to kind of balance everything of a real, you know, of a business and a farm? Or is it sort of been this way in different periods? Because, you know, you go back, as you say, your family, I mean, you go back a long time, and there have been challenging times before for different reasons. Or is it getting more difficult to kind of stay above your head above the water, as they say?
Yeah, it has got more difficult, that's for sure. The last 2 years is very noticeable. I mean, fertilizer, for instance, in 2 years, has probably gone up between 60 to 70%. So, you know, labor is a difficult thing now because we're paying a lot more just to try to get people to come to work because
right. We're
competing with the malls and stores. So that's difficult. But farming's always been difficult to start with because you're always dealing with the elements. So that's why there's not a whole lot of farms left in the area. So,
what about your Dan and Matt, your sons are with you. It's a family business. What are the rewards? What are the satisfactions, even though the work is pretty much nonstop and the worry? But why are you in the business per se? And we don't want you to leave it all to Dad. He needs you, so don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, John. But why do you both want to work in the family business?
We both grew up with it. It was, you know, ever since we were little kids, taking rides on the tractors and being around the farm. You know, I could have been more than like 5, 10 years old, and I'd be having high school, college kids working around me. It's something we idolized and really just love doing and love being around. And as we got older, it doesn't feel like I work every day. You know what I mean? It's a passion. We enjoy doing it.
And I will say, I think we both like doing physical labor over sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
Because this is all we've ever done. So I enjoy being outside, working with my hands, working in the dirt. So I think that's all we've ever really done. That's all we know. So I think, I don't know that I could see myself sitting all day on a computer or anything.
Well, you know, John, earlier, and thank you, Dan and Matt, I want to come back to where you get some of your source materials, but John, earlier I was talking on the show with Corey, and we'll bring Corey in here. You know, today, you know, when people move here, and it's fine to move here, a lot of people have been doing it the last 2 years, and they might buy a new home in a subdivision. They see these stone walls in communities all across New Hampshire, and they probably have no idea that farms were once there. I bet you when your grandfather or father, I think Corey said at one point he counted 52 working farms in the town. How many farms would you say are in the area now, Peter?
Well, we're the last full-time farm in town. There's a couple of smaller ones that do it on the side.
Wow.
So that's about it. And it's very limited land. Most of the property in town here has been developed, so it's hard to find.
Yeah, and there's still development going on. You know, because what I was going to say to the Peters family here joining us in this, we kind of do a deep dive into local farmers and what they're dealing with is, and a lot of these things all businesses are dealing with, shortage of labor, more increased inflationary cost, energy costs, but farming has always been a challenge, and yet we want good, clean produce and healthy food. Where do we think we're going to get it? My point, John, is I heard it from Dan and Matt. You know, my mother's family, originally from West Bethel, Maine, and my grandparents had a farm, and I remember going up there as a kid. It was always good food on the table. You know, there was maybe a deer was dressed out in the driveway during hunting season. There was trout, rhubarb pie, fresh made bread. You know, you're outdoors all day. You're out there helping your grandparents from the morning to the afternoon. The horses are going around. Very healthy environment. And we wonder today why diabetes is going through the roof. We have an obesity issue in this country that no one wants to talk about. People are sitting there staring at, you know, laptops and tablets and phones all day. Not as physical. You know, the processed food, who knows what it's doing to our bodies. And yet, I look at farming as such a, you know, I know it's something people aren't going to jump into, but I commend your sons and family for still being on the Peters farm, because I think it's a very healthy thing. And at the end of the day, I think I'd rather do that for 20 or 30 years than be sitting staring at a computer screen. Even though you use computers and you have technologies as well on the farm, I think it's pretty healthy what you're doing. So tell us a little, and you can comment on that, but tell us a little bit about where you get your fertilizers and the fertilizer and the stuff you get to make the farm successful. Where do you buy it?
Well, the fertilizer comes from, there's just a couple of companies left in New England. One of them is out in the Connecticut River Valley in Massachusetts. And so it's about a two and a half hour ride from here. So I get it delivered, and that's pretty expensive. So it's very few places left to buy it. So that's number one. The other thing is, you know, you mentioned working outside. My father's 100. His family all grew up on the farm. His sisters and brother all were 95 to 100. So
wait a minute. Your father's 100. Your father's 100 years old.
Yeah, he's still alive. He was working up until he was 96. He was on the tractor.
Can you repeat that?
He was World War II vet.
World War II veteran.
He was
veteran.
Working up until he's 96. He was working. So
96 years old, World War II veteran, 100 years old. Peter's farm down in Salem. You know they don't make them like that anymore, John. Wow.
No.
Wow. There's something, you know, I really wonder if we're going forwards or backwards in our society sometimes. I really do.
Yeah, he did physical labor his whole life. And, you know, I have too, and my sons have. So I think it's the best thing for you. But, I mean, you have to make a living. So I understand that not everybody could be a farmer. It's just the way life is.
Well, you know what? I've been trying to get Corey to go down there and do some physical labor, but she goes to the gym. She goes to a gym. She's not going to go out there and work. But hold on. We're going to take a break. If you can stick with us, we're talking with the Peters Farm down in Salem, New Hampshire, the last big farm standing. Great family, great story. Our healthcare system, our health, our habits, our diets, our food. And I'm listening to this story of the Peters Farm down in Salem. By the way, if you want fresh produce and vegetables, go to one of their stands down there. Corey, you used to do this with your family, right?
Oh, yeah. Growing up, I mean, we would drive by that all the time. My stepdad lived down there. And I'm like, oh, look at the corn on the cob and the pumpkins. We have to stop. So we would stop all the time. And then I was talking to Dan. And he was at the gym. And
So you were talking. He was working out.
Well, I actually disturbed his workout probably for that entire evening, but because I just kept coming back with all these questions because it was just
fascinating.
So it was fascinating. Yeah. I mean, because every year is such a gamble for these guys.
Yeah. And gals, their family.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen their stand for, you know, 40-something years. So it's something that I grew up with. And just to hear the personal stories and just the cost of everything, it's unbelievable.
And we want our local farms. We have the farm stands, the local. This is the Peters Farm in Salem, the last big farm stand, and there used to be more than 50. Last year, the rain was an issue, right? Right, John and Dan and Matt? The rain last year was an issue?
Yeah, very, very bad last year. We got flooded.
And now you're paying for higher fertilizer, higher tractor. If you needed to get a new tractor right now, how long would it take you?
Well, I've heard that it's, you know, 3 to 6 months, depending what you're looking for.
So wow.
That's not a good thing if you have a breakdown and you need something right away.
Right. Now, we have John, Dan, and Matt family. And your dad, John, worked on the farm up until 96 years old and is 100 years old today. I understand Purple Heart, World War II veteran. Is that all accurate?
Yes.
Wow. What's his first name?
It's Charles.
Charles, thank him for his service. You know, and you mentioned your other relatives that are the older generation. How old were they when they lived and they worked on the farm, what, into their 90s?
Yeah, but my father's brother was 100. His sisters were all somewhere between 96 and 99. And I remember them as a kid. They all worked on the farm. Even my grandmother, I remember her working in the field. I was young.
Do you think there's a lesson here, folks out there? I mean, I'm at the CDC. Do you think there's a lesson out there about physical work? I'm just asking a question because in the last few years, I don't want to get the Peters family involved in my commentary, but we've had such a focus on one thing and variations of a virus and not on heart disease, obesity, diabetes, cancer, all these other things that are so serious, mental health. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's an easy life. Life is a struggle. But you don't think physical labor, physical work makes a difference when you look at this family? All right. Now let's talk a little bit about where you're at in the calendar year, because here we are mid-April. You got to get what done in the next few weeks here, and you're hoping Mother Nature cooperates. You're up again. This is the kind of the period here where you're in a burst, right?
Well, is there also actually going to be a shortage in this stuff this year? I mean, or in the coming, you know, in the coming year or 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, we heard that like there was other farmers that were debating on what they were even going to plant this year because they weren't sure what we were going to get. Kind of, a lot of people were saying they were going to cut in half a lot of the stuff that they were going to grow because of the expense. You were asking earlier where the fertilizer comes from. I think like the supplier told us that at least chunks of it ships in. A lot of it ships in from the Russian area. So right
I don't
now,
think a lot of people really know all that. They don't know that information.
Yeah, we didn't even know that until they told us. that's kind of a news drop on us.
Yep, and disruption does make a difference. And again, how many, John? How many acres total in that? Are you different communities, but how many acres are your farms?
We raise close to 100 acres. You know, all vegetables. A lot do a lot of sweet corn. We do a lot of, you know, anything from tomatoes to herbs, which herbs are very popular now. But yeah, we do all the fresh vegetables and all your salad vegetables. You know, carrots, beets, broccoli, all that kind of stuff.
Wow, it's good stuff. No dairy, right?
No, we don't have any animals. My grandparents and when my father was younger, they did have cows at one point. But no, it's just vegetables right now.
Well, we wish you the best. Now, do you have social media where people can learn more about the farm?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page and we have an Instagram. We'll occasionally update it as much as we can. It's tough in the summertime to constantly post stuff, but we try and keep everyone updated, especially you know when we're opening for the year, when we're updates on when like corn's out, when stuff is all getting planted. Well, like tomorrow we're gonna start planting. We're gonna do our first planting of corn. We'll probably post a video of it up awesome. On both of them.
Peter's Farm. Now, if someone wanted to drive down and say hi in a few weeks or a month, what's the where are your locations for the farm stands and your farm?
Our farm stand is located at 2 Cross Street in Salem. If you go down Cross Street, you'll see some of our fields on either side of the road. And we're very like my dad said, we're very spread out. We're all over the place, but our hub is right here on Cross Street in Salem.
Well, great stuff, Corey. Thank you. Now, Dan, when you saw Corey the other day at the gym, did she talk the whole time or did she work out at all?
It was a little bit of both of us.
It was more talking that day. I disrupted everything he was trying to do.
Yeah, I go in intending to work out for an hour. It usually turns into three.
Hey, Dan.
There you go.
Dan, Matt, and John, thank you.
Yes, thank you for
great
your story.
Great story, Peter's Farm. And the last thing I want to ask, and either one, I don't care who jumps on this one, but I was thinking during the break, because you grew up in it, you know it, and Corey and I were talking about that, because if you don't know something, like, no, I love and I respect the hospitality restaurant business, but if I didn't grow up in it and I didn't know it, all aspects of the business, the margin's so tight, I don't think I'd jump into it. I have a buddy who manages one of the best ski areas around, and he's been doing it his whole life, and you know what can happen in skiing if they don't get a good start to the season or some Mother Nature or the cold temps in late October, November to start making snow. So it's a tough business. And golf courses, same thing. My question is, if someone was thinking about maybe not doing this full time, but sort of as part of their life, get some land, you know, kind of get out a little bit. What are your thoughts and recommendations to them if they wanted to just start their own small farm? And maybe someday they put a farm stand at the end of their driveway, but they want to move to an area, get some land and do it. What do you recommend?
Well, around here, it's unrealistic, but you'd have to move a little bit further away where you can afford to buy some land. But my recommendation would be to start small, like a hobby farm, and you may, you're working off the farm and doing the farm part-time until it catches on, because it takes a long time to make money. It really does. It's so expensive to get started.
Yeah, good stuff.
So that would be my advice.
Well, the Peters family, thank you so much for what you do, and appreciate it, John, Dan, and Matt. Thanks for joining us on Good Morning New Hampshire GMI Studios. Make it a good one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.